Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Thank you, Dr. Beyer. It's so lonely when you're not here during the summer, and there are groups that come in and out, but to have everyone here all the time, it's what we've been waiting for 3 months. So let me add my welcome to new students as well as returning students. Have some good news, and I want to start by having everyone who works in and with the physical plant stand up. So I know some of you are back there in the dark, and if we could get some lights on, let's turn some lights on. I want everybody to see these folks. Stand up, stand up. Stand, there we go, stand up. Is that everybody? Now, keep standing. We were ranked this summer the sixth prettiest Christian campus in the nation. It's because of those folks right there. Let's let them know how much. Don't sit down. Now, keep standing, please. And last year at this convocation, I told you that the same group, they ranked CIU, they ranked the top 50 Christian colleges in the nation, and I told you we weren't just in the top 10, we were in the top 5. And we actually were ranked last year third best Christian. I love bragging about Christian things. It seems so, I don't know if it's sin or not, but we'll confess it just a second here. This year they came out with the new rankings, and we were ranked second in the nation. And I want all the faculty and staff, everybody in the whole congregation out here seated behind me, I want all faculty and staff to stand up, and let's give them a huge round of applause. Then I just got this one yesterday, so I don't have a slide on it, but Jason Butler, who's our missionary in residence, professor for a year, he's been on the mission field almost 25 out of the last 27 years, I think. This is the top 20 online theology graduate programs. So Dr. Simmons and Saxon Reason, I know I've seen Dr. Simmons. I want you to stand up. And Saxon, where are you? In the very back. Yep. Thank you. Of the top 20 online theology graduate programs, just yesterday they ranked CIU number 9 in the nation. So let's thank them. So. Now, speaking of good news, a few months ago, I met a friend downtown for lunch, and he knew we were going to be talking about his personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And before we even sat down for lunch, he was telling me that I've been to church all my life. My brother's a preacher. I was baptized when I was 6. And just rattling off all these credentials for me. And I said, well, that's wonderful. Let's sit down and eat lunch. So we ate. And at the end of the meal, I said, you know, I know you're a Christian, but tell me, are you a biblical Christian or a cultural Christian? Well, he paused. He said, I don't know. What's the difference? So I shared the gospel with him, the good news of Jesus Christ. And at the end, I said, where would you put yourself? I used John 3:16, used a little bridge. I said, where would you put yourself on this diagram? He said, you know where I am. I said, well, I don't know if I know where you are or not, but where would you put yourself? He says, I've not crossed over into a right relationship with God. I said, would you like to do that right now? And he said, I need to think about it. So he thought about it for a few weeks, then came here to campus, and in one of the private dining rooms in the cafeteria, we'll be there in just close there in just a few minutes, he got on his knees, and he prayed to receive Christ. That's good news. But just a few months ago, this brand new Christian gave CIU, for your benefit, $100,000 for scholarship monies. Is that not exciting? So, now, how many other new Christians are there in here? This year, the topic of our President's Chapel, so like once a month I have the privilege of speaking, we're going to talk about victorious Christian living. But this morning I want to set the context of the rest of the year by talking about three different types of Christians. Now, I've already mentioned two of them. First, there are cultural, and notice this, Christian is in quotes, because they're not really sons of God from God's perspective. They may see themselves from a human perspective, I'm a Christian, but from God's perspective, they're not a believer. They're not a Christian. They're not his son or his daughter. The second are what I call biblical Christians. How does the scripture describe someone who's a true, genuine follower of Christ? But then there's a third type, and I call these typical Christians. Now let me illustrate each one. And I spent months this summer putting together these diagrams. So here's the cultural Christian. Notice the triangle represents God. That's as close to the Trinity as I could get. And quit laughing at my diagram. I can see everything from up here, and I'm taking names. Inside the box represents those who are in relationship with him. And the little bitty stick figure, those are people outside of the box. They're outside of a relationship. They may think they have a relationship with the Lord, but they don't. So I call them cultural Christians. Well, what about biblical Christians? Well, just like my friend downtown, well, actually, that's where I shared the gospel with him, but here at CIU, in the private dining room, when he got on his knees, at some point, some instant in that prayer that he was praying for Christ to come into his life, to forgive him of his sin, to give him the free gift of eternal life, and to, through his Holy Spirit, to make him the person he longed to be and was created to be. At some point in that prayer, a person crosses over into a right relationship with God. But now, there's more when it comes to being a biblical Christian. Not only do they have a relationship with God, but they have access to fellowship with God. So this box, this gold box, represents someone who's in fellowship with God. Now, if you're taking notes, I want you to understand something. There is a big difference, and I wanted to talk about, actually, what I wanted to talk about this year in President's Chapels was more along these lines, and Dr. Lanfer, our provost, he convinced me to change topics. There is a difference of being in fellowship with God, someone who's being controlled by his Holy Spirit and is walking in trust and obedience. They can be in fellowship with God, but not having fellowship with God. So, this next slide. There is a point in our relationship and in our fellowship, we actually experience that fellowship consciously. Dr. McQuilkin would often talk about the four C's of the mystics. Constant, conscious communion with Christ. I am aware throughout the day that I am walking in fellowship with God. So last night, there were times when Debbie and I, sweetheart, stand up. This is the first lady. Would you welcome my bride here? We've been married 37 years, 7 months, and 5 days today. She's a good one. Not that I've ever had a bad one, but so... So last night, we're watching the news. We're in fellowship, but we're not having fellowship. And last night, we turned the television off, about to go to bed, and usually when I hit the pillow, I'm gone. We started talking about some things for the future. And as the words are going back and forth, that communication, it just draws somebody closer. So we were in fellowship all evening, but there's certain points during the evening we were having fellowship, experiencing that deep, precious intimacy. Unfortunately, most Christians, most biblical Christians, do not stay in fellowship. Something happens. And so this box, sin, it cuts us off, not from the relationship, but from the fellowship. So if I ever act ugly toward Debbie, we're still married, but it sure doesn't feel like it. There's a wall that comes because I've hurt her and she's grieved on the inside. All right, so here's a different, this puts all these three types of Christians together. So we have the biblical Christian at the top, then the cultural Christian, and then the typical Christian. Now notice the arrows. Now, I have the arrow going from cultural Christian to biblical Christian. I have it going just one direction. Now there's some, and they're evangelicals. They may be faculty here on campus or students here on campus or staff. There's some believe that arrow goes both ways, that you can enter into a relationship with the Lord and then lose that relationship with the Lord. I put it, the arrow going one way because I lean that way strongly, that if you're a genuine son of God, that you will always be a son of God. You may lose the fellowship, but not the relationship. But there's some that would make the arrow go both ways. Then the typical Christian, notice it's going both ways. If I disobey God, I come out of fellowship, I'm a typical Christian, which is most Christians in our churches throughout the country today. But then if I say sincerely those nine powerful words, "Oh God, I was wrong. Please forgive me. I'm so sorry," then the fellowship's restored. But there's a difference, and this is where I've been thinking all summer long. There's a difference in maturity levels of biblical Christians. So notice I've put a line, a spectrum, in that circle for biblical Christians. So there is a range from immature to mature. So if there's a passage on which we're focusing this morning, it's 1 John chapter 2, verses 12, 13, and 14. Verses 12 through 14, 1 John chapter 2. So John's writing there, says, "I'm writing to you." Now notice three levels of maturity. "I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers." See over here, one side, there are these little children. This other side, the other end of the spectrum, they're these fathers. And it says, "because you know him who has been from the beginning." And then there's somebody in between. "I'm writing to young men because you've overcome the evil one." And then he repeats himself in verse 14. He says, "I have written to you, little children, because you know the Father." You know him, but like fathers, you don't know him intimately who has been from the beginning. And then, "I've written to you, young men, because you're strong, the word of God abides in you, and you've overcome the evil one." So let's look at immature biblical Christians. Based on these verses, they know that their sins are forgiven, but, and see, I put that in capital letters, but they're weak spiritually. The person lacks a deep understanding. They may have a breadth of knowledge, but they don't have a depth of understanding of Scripture. The Word of God abides in you. They struggle with consistently overcoming temptation. You know that you've not overcome the evil one there in verse 14. They just don't know God deeply. Sunday, I had the privilege of preaching in Dr. Close's church in Lexington. And after the service, a young man came up to me and he said, "Oh, about a year ago, I crossed over into a right relationship with God." I said, "That's so exciting." I said, what are you thinking about doing in the future?" He said, well, I'm not sure about the future, but let me tell you what I did this last year. I spent this last year getting rid of as much of the crummy stuff in my life that I could. He was overcoming the temptation of the evil one. Now, this is where I spent hours on this next one. So that this is an immature biblical Christian, here's a mature biblical Christian. Quit snickering. Now, he knows his or her sins are forgiven and, capital letters, and they are strong spiritually. They have a deep, deep, deep understanding of Scripture. And they overcome, now catch this word, on a consistent basis, not a continual basis. In other words, they are not sinless, but they do sin less. Make sense? So as a new Christian, I may sin frequently, and it may be intensely. But as I mature, the intensity becomes less and less, and the frequency becomes less and less. So I'm not sinless. There's still those mess-ups. But I can, through the power of the Holy Spirit, sin less. Now, if this is a mature biblical Christian, let's look, what is spiritual maturity? What is it? Now, here we have two lines. The vertical goes from lesser to greater, and the horizontal goes from lesser to greater. Here's how I define spiritual maturity. And I interviewed a lot of people this summer, and I found they focused either on this line or on this line. But I think it's both lines. So spiritual maturity is intimacy with Christ, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection, and that I may know Him in the fellowship of His suffering. I want to know Him completely, inside and out. But there's also the imitation of Christ. Not just the intimacy with Christ, but the imitation of Christ. So, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of Christ. Romans 8:29. Colossians 3:10. Being renewed to a true knowledge, catch this, according to the image of the one who created him. This is how Dr. McQuilkin, our third president, whom we lost right after graduation in the spring, he defined it more like this, Mark 12:30, in terms of that vertical line, that we would love Him, that God created us to love Him. He wants a love relationship, and that we would love Him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. But yet we would constantly hear His life verse in terms of the horizontal, 2 Corinthians 3:18, where He said, the Scripture says, and Dr. McCulkin would quote, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, here was this part that he emphasized, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Here's another way of looking at it, these two lines, these two aspects of spiritual maturity. Deeper fellowship, 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful through whom you and I were called into fellowship with Him. He longs for the fellowship. He longs for the love relationship. But there's another aspect to this. It's great, not just this deeper fellowship, but greater fruitfulness. And we're going to come back to that Galatians verse, but John 15, verses 4 and 5. Abide in me and I in you. For a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So we have these two aspects, The vertical part, getting closer to God, and the horizontal part, becoming more like Christ. Spiritual maturity is a function of growth. I call these growth rates. 1 Peter chapter 2, you know this verse in verse 2. It says, like newborn babes, what? Long for the pure milk of the word that what? That by it you may what? Grow in respect to salvation. So spiritual maturity is a function of growth rate. So let me draw a line here on the screen and show you the ideal growth rate. Let me point out three things. This is ideal. Notice that the angle of the line represents time with the Son of God. The length of the line represents time as a Son of God. So I can spend a lot of time. I've been a follower of Christ now for like 42 years. So I've been a Son of God for a long time. But have I spent much time with the Son of God? So I may be, somebody may ask, well, what is your spiritual age? I would say my age is 42 years old, spiritually. But the question is, how mature do I act? Do I act like a 42-year-old follower of Christ? Do I look like a 42-year-old follower of Christ? So the angle shows the rate of growth. Now, most people, I would say rarely, have I seen anybody that has this ideal rate of growth. But I've seen a lot of people who had an inspiring rate of growth. Our Dr. McQuilkin was one. He had such deep fellowship with the Lord and such great fruitfulness for the Lord that it just inspired me to want to be more like Christ and want to know Him more intimately, not just in the power of His resurrection, but also in the fellowship of His suffering. Well, if nobody has the ideal rate and few people have the inspiring growth rate into spiritual maturity, there are a lot of people around here who have an impressive growth rate. You wouldn't be here if you didn't want to grow and grow quickly. But most people in our churches, and to be honest, every single one of us here in this room, sometimes we find ourselves not with the ideal, not with the inspiring, not with this, you know, this is very impressive, but a growth rate way down here. And I just call it in my own life, well, this is just inadequate. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'm not where He wants me to be. I'm not where I long to be. And I'm surely not where You deserve for me to be. Does that make sense? So here's the question. How do we grow faster? I mean, Rachel, don't you want to grow faster? Man, if there were like a bag of spiritual fertilizer, I'd pour it on my head every single day and say, physical plant, you water me as I come down the boulevard. I want to grow. I want to know Him intimately. I want to be like Him in terms of image. Well, here's how we can grow. Just one slide and then click one, please. All right, so how do we go from inadequate to ideal? Let me give you three little thoughts here. We have to focus on communing with Christ. But also, now keep this. This is why, because I'm going to focus on the horizontal line this year. But I don't want us to lose perspective, because I can be on that bottom line being conformed, really seeking to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, to live the authentic Christian life, to experience and display the victorious Christian life, but I'm not communing with the Father. And so my growth rate's going like this. I may look more and more like Him, but do I really know Him intimately? So I need to work on communing with Christ and being conformed to Christ. I need to work on, here's another way of thinking about this, and I put several of these so some hit others and some don't. I want to get closer to God. That's the intimacy part. And I want to get further from sin. That's the imitation part. Here's another way of looking at it. Seven letters. TOG are the first four. Now, don't confuse TOG with WOG or MOG. If you've been here before, you've heard me talk about you only have to make three strategic decisions in life. Who your master's going to be, who your mate's going to be, and what your mission's going to be. Most of you, I'm assuming all of you, have made the master decision. The mate decision, here's a secret. You marry who you date. I've watched it over and over again. If you never date them, you don't marry them. It's just as true as the fact that if your parents never had any children, you will never have any children. Did the faculty get that one? Okay. I learned it from them. All right, now, so what is a WOG and a MOG? A woman of God and a man of God. You want to date men? A woman of God, women, you want to date a man of God. You date a woman of God, you'll marry a woman of God. You date a man of God, you'll marry a woman, a man of God. I was just seeing if you were listening. All right, so what is TOG? TOG is time alone with God. Spend that time. The more time you spend with a person, the better you know them. The better you know them, the deeper you love them. The deeper you love them, the more you want to glorify them. That's what I wanted to speak on this year. But I'm very obedient, and I follow Dr. Lamford's instructions. The other three letters, seven letters, T-A-W-G. What are the other three letters? V-C-L, Victorious Christian Living. Now, there is a shortcut. Here's the shortcut. You can take a shortcut, but it's going to cost you. The way to grow really, really fast is to go through suffering properly. Not just go through suffering, but go through it properly. You do that, you'll grow very fast. Now, interestingly, I mentioned this earlier. When it comes to the topic of growing in spiritual maturity, most authors and most pastors and most commentators stress either the vertical, intimacy with Christ, or the horizontal, imitation of Christ. The church in which, after I came to Christ in college, upon graduation, I went to serve on staff at a church, a huge church, way too young spiritually and physically. And anyway, they took me anyway. I'm so grateful because that pastor, he was known for this message, let's seek him to know him, to love him more, to bring him praise and glory and pleasure. He focused on this line. Here at CIU, we tend to focus just on this line. Now, Dr. McQuilkin, he focused on both. This is so we can love him. This is a necessity and a possibility, and he called it victorious Christian living. He said, but this just enables us to love him. He was balanced. We tend to focus just on this. That's why I was wanting this year to focus on the intimacy part. So during our chapel messages, the President's chapel messages, we're going to focus on the victorious Christian living. I will tend to call it walking in the Spirit. But I want you to keep everything in perspective. Remembering that we can be controlled by the Holy Spirit, but not communing with the Heavenly Father. Without both, you will not grow into full spiritual maturity. You will stay a little child or you'll stay a young person, but you will never be the father, the mother that Scripture longs for us to be spiritually. So remember 1 John chapter 2, verse 13, that you may know him who has been from the beginning. And he repeats it in verse 14, that you may know him who has been from the beginning. So what have we learned this morning? There are three types of Christians. This is just my terminology. They're cultural Christians. I put it in quotes because they're really not Christians from God's perspective. They're typical Christians. They have Christ inside them, but they're not living this victorious Christian life, and they're not pressing on to know the Lord intimately. And then there are biblical Christians. I want us to be biblical Christians. Biblical Christians range in terms of spiritual maturity. So if you're a biblical Christian, I want you to, that's great, but it's just the beginning. I want you to grow, and I know you long to do the same thing. But I don't want you to be satisfied with spiritual immaturity. I want you to long to be deeply mature in the Lord. So spiritual maturity then is a function of growth. Growth takes place in two areas: the intimacy with Christ and the imitation of Christ. Imitation of Christ is a necessity to have intimacy with Christ. And is it not? It's not just a necessity, it's a possibility. And here at CIU, we call that victorious Christian living. And most of you passed the stone in which that's carved as you came into chapel. So as we close, let me ask you a couple of questions. What kind of Christian are you this morning? A cultural Christian? Now you would think there wouldn't be any, and this is really a non-Christian, there wouldn't be any here on campus. But 26 years ago, in the first class I taught, when I came fully on staff as a professor, there was a young lady named Barbara. It was a seminary class that I taught. And after class, she said, "I've never crossed into a right relationship with God." And she prayed to receive Christ. And talk about it making a difference in her education. It all started making sense to her. But perhaps you realize this morning, hey, you know, I'm not sure there's a point where I ever crossed into a right relationship with God. Or are you a typical Christian? Well, if you're a cultural Christian, you want to move up to that biblical Christian. Well, how do you do that? You cross over into a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So you cross over through the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're a typical Christian, we're going to learn much, much more about this year in our series. The way you become a biblical Christian is you learn to walk in the power of God's Holy Spirit. But being a biblical Christian is not an end in itself. Now there's the maturation aspect. There's the maturity. You want to grow in your walk with the Lord. So to do that, to become a mature biblical Christian, that calls for fellowship with the Father. Crossing over through the Lord Jesus, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, and fellowship with the Father God. So question. I want you to look upon that chart, please. And I want, in your mind, I want you to pinpoint exactly where you are. Would you do that? Just right now, just look at me. Where are you? Second question. Where would you like to be at the end of the school year? At the end of the semester? For me, it's like, I want to be all the way over to the right at the end of this chapel. You know, grow me, Lord. Last question. What's stopping any of us this year from daily walking, moment by moment, in the power of the Spirit, living the victorious Christian life, not sinless, but we do sin less and less and less. But throughout that time, the four C's, we're learning to walk constantly in conscious communion with Christ. Because it's not all about us and how we look, but it's all about Him and how much we love.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.